I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I trust we were singing that song from the heart, open the wells of grace and salvation. I was blessed this morning by the thoughts there from Psalms that William shared. There's a couple of words there that stood out to me. And there's three words: trust, delight, and commit. It's also interesting to me that exactly 5 years and 1 month ago, almost to the day, someone shared I don't know if it was a sermon or an opening meditation on that chapter, and I made a note of it there, and that was Brother Roger, and he had the six steps to peace. And William talked about peace and the thoughts of thankfulness and trusting in God. So it's, I'd like to take you on to Psalm 121 and read that passage. And the verse that I quoted when I came up here comes from the next chapter, the first verse. There's just so much, and we're following right behind Psalm 119, two chapters later. As we think about this, let's think of what is the psalmist saying here. Starting with verse 1, Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. In our Sunday school lesson, it talked about persecution. It talked about suffering. And we heard about that this morning in the devotional. He says here that he will keep us. And I think he says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. You know, too often maybe we don't look up. We look down. Our focus is down. Our focus is on the things that are going on around us instead of looking up to where our help comes from. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. I have to think of Caleb, who at 85 years old said in Joshua chapter 14, verse 12, he says, Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. He put his focus, his trust in God, his trust in what the Lord had said, on the promises that he had made. And we have many accounts of that. Another one, I think of Jonathan. You know, when they were just sitting there in the valley in discouragement, he went out with a group of men. He faced the enemy. You know, humanly speaking, it would have been a much safer place to just stay where his dad, the king, was, there under the shade tree. But look at the victory that was won because of his faithfulness. The encouragement that he gave to his fellow men. There's a story told of a man that was walking along. He saw a gold coin laying on the ground. He picked it up. We have people here that look for coins, and that's okay. But this man, it said that he kept his eyes on the ground. He kept his focus down throughout life. In the meantime, he missed the flowers. He missed the plants in the gardens, the hills and the mountains, because his focus was down. You know, how easy is it for us to get into the same situation? Our focus is on the ground. Our focus is on the circumstances around us. Or our focus may be on the things that this life has to offer, the things that allure us and pull our focus off of God. And we miss the beauty of the hills and the mountains. You know, if you go out west, you don't have to even go out west, but if you think of the Rockies or out in the, I don't know what you call the clay mountains out there in Utah, but you get down, you get somewhere down in the valley, there's this, you have these rocky cliffs or clay hills and nothing on them, but you come down to a valley and there's beautiful alfalfa fields or orchards in these valleys, and these valleys are protected from the elements because of the mountains around them, the harsh winds, and the water flows from these mountains, so they seem to get plenty of water. The fertile valleys, deriving a lot of benefits from the mountains around them. You know, the valleys get a lot of if it weren't for those valleys, if there's up in the mountaintops and nothing grows up there, but those mountains direct the air currents. They provide valuable minerals that get washed down into the valleys. Nutrients. You know, they may seem like insurmountable, jagged walls, but they're really very beneficial and important to the earth. They're to the earth what God is to the believer. You know, what the mountains are to the earth in benefits and blessings, so God is to his people. He is where we derive our strength. And maybe that's what the psalmist was talking about when he says, I will lift mine eyes unto the hills. He's not saying that's where his help comes from, but he lifts his eyes up there. He says, my help cometh from the Lord. Just a few more verses here. Colossians 3. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You know, what we look at, what we focus on, is what we become like. So let's look up. Let's focus on Christ. Let's focus on the one we want to emulate. Matthew 22, verse 37 says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And he goes on to say, the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But this commandment's the number one thing, the commandment that precedes all others. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You know, do we have time to know him, to know Jesus? Is he the one that we're willing to make sacrifices for? You know, how can we know that we know him? How can we know? Someone asked a question there in our Sunday school lesson. Paul talked about commended them on their faith. How can we know that we have faith? How can we know that we are growing spiritually? I think the answer was in the phrase that followed that phrase, that it's by their love for each other, their charity to each other. 1 John brings that out also. He says, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. There's another place in John. He says that by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. What is the definition of obedience? I think that's to make God's will the number one priority in our lives. You know, it's, if we come to a crossroads, if we come to a decision, you know, every one of us made decisions. You made a decision this morning when you got up. You made a decision to be here this morning. You made a lot of decisions in between there. Every decision we make should come under that definition, should fall under that, you know, what would God have me to do? And that's in every area of our lives. That's to the way we dress, to what we drive, to how we drive, to what we do. That follows all the way through the definition of obedience, to make God's will the number one priority in our lives. You know, are we seeking God's will, or do we look around us and make our decisions based on that? If it doesn't line up with His Word, we better take inventory. If we try to change the Bible to fit our situation the way we want to, who has the priority? You know, isn't it self? Isn't it our own? We can make ourselves our God instead of God. I'd like to read just a couple of verses yet out of Psalm 125. The first two verses there. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. And the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forever. Let's kneel for prayer.